I cannot believe we are already entering into the springtime of 2025. But regardless of the year, every time we get to the spring season, that's usually the time that people start to think about their home improvement, whether that's home improvement projects, whether that's roofing, carpeting, window installation. I mean, the list goes on and on. But we want to make sure that, especially if this is the first time you are having a contractor come to your home, they don't get duped. And so joining us now is Commissioner Brian Caffarelli of the Connecticut Department of Consumer Protection. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Brian, but this would be probably about the time we start to see these types of home improvement scams pop up more and more, correct?
Oh, for sure. You know, spring's in the air. People want to get outside, get their homes ready to have, enjoy this best time of the year in Connecticut outside and on their decks. And you want to get everything ready in their house.
I mean, and to do that, we want to make sure, you know, a few things. I feel like there's sort of a list of the must-haves with a contractor. You want someone who's going to do it correctly, right? You want someone who's going to do it in a timely fashion. And you want to make sure that they are basically stretching your dollar, that they're using every penny of the dollar to the fullest and that you're happy with it. But, you know, while that sounds like a pretty easy list, how common is it that people get duped by home improvement scammers?
Yeah, I mean, they get duped and just make some common errors, I'd say. So sometimes it's not malicious, but, you know, you're right. There's I think, common to most everything we talk about, you know, if you take your time and do a little research and really are thoughtful about the process you're going into, whether it be a home improvement contract or other areas that we regulate, you know, we find that there's common themes in terms of, you know, challenges people encounter. Last year alone, we had nearly 1,500 complaints made to our home improvement unit. And,
wow.
You know, there's themes in them. A lot of them are regarding deposits where consumers provided funds, but no work was performed. You know, about 300 of them were regarding unregistered contractors. So that's a great starting point, is that, you know, it's very important that homeowners should know before starting any service, you want to hire a licensed and qualified professional. And, you know, that's for a variety of reasons. First and foremost is that, you know, for the licensed trades, it makes sure that they are competent at the work that they're doing. I mean, this is big stuff. But for home improvement contractors, you can kind of understand that they're playing by the rules. And if something goes wrong, we can help you more in terms of a guarantee fund that exists. But, you know, to talk about your tips, like I said, it's often lengthy, expensive, and you shouldn't rush it. So do your research, ask for recommendations, basic things. But people, you're so anxious, or, you know, I don't want to say you, but, you know, people are very anxious to get this done. They, you know, they find somebody who has time, because there's this common theme out there that, you know, none of the trades or contractors have any time to do work. So when you find one, you're like, people just grab it and go. But that's not the case. There's a lot of great, reputable contractors out there that can do work for you. So take your time and do some research.
So, Brian, you had mentioned just a couple minutes ago having an active license if you're a home contractor. Does that apply for all trades? And how do people know if someone is actually properly licensed? I mean, is it as simple as saying, can I see it? And how do you know what to look for?
Yeah. Well, yes, is the answer to that. That registered contractors, we issue a wallet card either by email or some we actually send by request. But, you know, you can ask for credentials, trades. You know, you think about the plumbers, electricians, HVAC. They are required to be licensed with us. You can also verify credentials using our e-license. So you just go to our homepage, ct.gov/DCP. And you can verify a license for the trades, a home improvement contractor, or anything else we license, quite frankly. But, you know, when you're, you know, you can ask for their credentials, but you do want to, you do also want to ask for referrals. A lot of people get a little kind of squishy about it. It seems like you're impugning a reputation, but you're not. You know, these contractors and home improvement people, they go through this all the time, and if they're doing reputable work, they should be proud to send you to, you know, I just did a job for Melissa. You can call her. She's very happy with it. And so you can get a phone number from them and, it, you know, call. Do call and say, hey, look, it's best to do it with, you know, someone you know well who's used this person, and you could go over and see what they did and talk to them about it. But when you're talking to the contractor, some things that people, you know, don't ask about that they wish they had are what's their workload? You know, are they juggling several projects?
Oh, interesting.
Ask them what the job really entails, the materials, because sometimes there's materials that could take a while to get, and their timeline. That's another big complaint we get, is that it took way too long. And so these things all have to be reduced to a contract, which is required. So make sure you have this in writing, the price, the deposit, and, you know, so you're not surprised by anything, and there's no real questions about the job.
Mm-hmm. And a couple other things, Brian, that I know in recent years I've been doing, because you're right. I mean, instant gratification, but also the anxiousness of the average person who wants to get a job done will kick in sometimes, and then we don't do things properly. How much do you recommend people do price comparison? So, for example, if you want to do, you know, if you want to redo your floors, going to, you know, two or three different places that do carpeting or hardwood floor staining or something. I mean, how much do you recommend people also do price comparisons?
Yeah, I do think that it's, like I said, to talk to, you know, more than one. We recommend as a guideline three. But it's not always, and you do, you know, in your intro, you're talking about trying to stretch your dollar, and that's true. So you want to get value, but I would caution, though, that the best deal might not be the lowest.
The cheapest.
Price.
I agree. Yeah. Yep. I agree with you, Brian. I agree. And I think that's something to really look at. But like you said, it's also important to then vet, okay, if I'm paying more money, why is that? Why is that? What are you bringing me that these other places are not? And I think that also can bring some clarity and peace of mind to the average person.
Yeah. And, you know, and so some things to look out for that just should make you, your gut check, say, ugh. You know, if they, you know, first, like we talked about the credentials, if they can't provide you with a credential, that's a, like, don't pass go there. Just move on.
Yeah.
You know, it helps us put the scammers out of business, and it gives homeowners the strongest protection against any loss from a job. So I mentioned it before, but we do have a home improvement guarantee fund in Connecticut that was adopted by the legislature quite some time ago. And what it does is that a homeowner may be eligible for up to $25,000 in restitution per contract if something goes wrong with a registered contractor. So if the home improvement contractor is not registered with us and you have some difficulties, by law, we're not able to access that home improvement guarantee fund. So that's another reason that you really want to make sure that the home improvement contractor is registered. There's some other things. But last year, we paid out over $1.5 million to 127 consumers from that fund. And so what we'll do is we'll go after the home improvement contractor who wronged the homeowner. But in the meantime, the homeowner is made whole or partially whole. Mm-hmm. So that they can move on with their life.
Tis the season for springtime related scams. We've got Commissioner Brian Caffarelli, who is here from the Connecticut Department of Consumer Protections. Tax day coming up on April 15th. And tell us, Brian, what are some tax season scams that tend to pop up for people to look out for?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's the recurring scams that come up during tax season. And so right now we're seeing some text scams. I mean, a lot of people are getting these texts from a variety of things that they apparently have done wrong, that the scammers are going to help you make right. And one of them is that there are scammers who actually pose as the IRS or DRS from the state, or and they demand urgent action. Like, that's another common theme in these scams. You've got to act right away or something really bad's going to happen. And they could be offering you something great, but you've got to act quickly. And so, you know, they could range from your account is on hold, you're eligible for an additional rebate check, or sometimes they'll threaten legal or financial consequences if you don't do something. So most of the time, these tech scammers will send a link, and it's a trap for you to either fill out personal information, or it can download malware to your device. So I just want to stress, more importantly, and our partner at DRS, you know, Commissioner Boughton says this all the time too, the IRS, Department of Revenue Services, they'll never contact you via text or email asking for money. They will not ask for sensitive information through text or email. It'll usually be a letter or something to prompt you to get to log into your secure account on the Connecticut website or the federal website. So they're not going to pressure you into immediate payment. Oftentimes we see, too, they're asking you to pay with debit cards or gift cards or wire transfers. And if it's really an agency, they would send a bill through the mail. So don't fall victim to, you know, a demand that you pay your taxes without the question to appeal the amount. Even if they're threatening to put a lien on your house or law enforcement, you can always check it out with the real entity. So it's they're common tactics that are used to impersonate government agencies. And the government agencies most likely for something like this will send you mail. Or if they do send you an email, though, they will say, log into your account for an important message, and you'll go to the real website.
Yeah. And really quickly, Brian, before we run out of time, the other thing that tends to happen, whether it's college graduations or even just high schoolers who want to find summer jobs, what do you recommend for people who are looking for a job after graduation or during the summer months and avoiding job opportunity scams?
Yeah, and thanks for the time to talk about this because it's a real growing trend. I mean, from 2020, it was $90 million, and last year it was $500 million in losses. And so scammers, they're gonna post fake job postings, either with the branding of a recognized company or creating a fake company, and they're going to trick people into applying for a fake position. Usually they appear on things like Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace, or community pages, but they're on LinkedIn and Indeed. And they can target you directly posing as a recruiter. So there's a lot of red flags, but really what they're trying to do is get you to apply. And in the application, they're going to ask for all sorts of personal information that you would normally fill out once you get a job and you're meeting with an HR representative, like your social security number and biographical information, maybe even a routing number for your checking account so they can pay you direct deposit. These are horrible things to give out to a company that you don't know about. So red flags, you know, if they have an email that ends with Gmail or Yahoo and not their company, but, you know, check out the company's website. If it's too good to be true, it normally is. You know, make sure you can either go to their website, that there's a phone number to call. But, you know, oftentimes it'll say work from home and it'll advertise just great and all sorts of, you know, big time money that you can make. That's really, really kind of out of line with reality. And so they are targeting college students looking for internships or recent grads who are looking for something to fill the gap before they find a permanent job.
Yeah, it's so horrible. But we appreciate getting your insight, Commissioner Brian Caffarelli of the Connecticut Department of Consumer Protection. Thank you so much for always being in our corner. Yeah, you're the best, Brian.
It's great. You are. It's great to be with you every month. Thank you always for the time.
You're very welcome. Brian Caffarelli, thank you. And we will be in touch again next month.